We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard, he flies and slams! Aerial assault from Judah Mintz!
Looking to go back door to Bell, they get it to a near corner three, knocks it down! Chris Bell, the sharpshooter!
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in! A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Syracuse has now won three straight hold-on-to-your-hats type of games. We are back with your regularly scheduled hosts, Ian Unsworth, after my five games in 5 days. Whew, that was a lot, but Ethan Frank filled in admirably. Johnny, I'm sure you were glad to have someone as competent as him who knows Syracuse basketball that well riding along with you. And tell me how he did. How was Diesel?
It was great, Ian. First of all, I missed you. It's nice to have you back. But it was good.
Thank you.
Ethan was in the house at the Dome for Boeheim Day as a fan, and obviously grew up a big Syracuse fan with parents who had attended the university. So it was cool to kind of get that perspective from – you know, someone who was in the house, got to see all the gym stuff while also really having a true emotional attachment to it all. And he also isn't too down on the orange. He seems to think that there is some sort of path maybe for Syracuse to work its way in the NCAA tournament. I tried to slow his roll as best I could. And me and you will obviously continue to discuss that over the course of the next week or so. But hey, at least they've made things interesting now, which is really all you can ask for, I guess, as a fan.
Yeah, Syracuse is 81st in the net, 78th in KenPom. So kind of hovering, and it all depends on how the next two games and the ACC tournament play out. But right now, where we stand, the Orange have beaten Virginia Tech, are looking at Louisville on Saturday. We'll give you the recap of VT, preview the Cardinals, and we've got two kind of broader topics to talk about today. Don't usually do this, but the first is NCAA tournament expansion, because if we expand the NCAA tournament, Syracuse could be in it every single year. Is that a good thing? Or does it kind of devalue the experience? And the second is the ACC schedule for next season is out. SMU's on it. Cal's on it. Stanford's on it. We'll talk about some of the key notes from the year ahead with Red Autry. So first things first, Syracuse 84, Virginia Tech 71. The best first half the Orange have played all year, 45-27 after 20 minutes. And everyone chipped in, Johnny.
They smoked them. And I know that a talking point coming out of this game is going to be, oh boy, a couple in a row now, second half, little iffy. I don't care. When you come out and set the tone in the same way that Syracuse did, you can falter a little bit. As long as you still find a way to win the game, that's all I care about. I think for me, it boiled down to shutting down the VT backcourt. Mm-hmm. We knew the names, right? Hunter Couture, who has been there forever, and Sean Padula, who hasn't been there quite as long, but still feels like has kind of been there forever. And Syracuse did their due diligence. I mean, Padula still kind of got his in a sense. 18 points. He took 13 shots, but you didn't allow either of those two guys to take over the basketball game. Couture finishes with 12, a little bit of foul trouble for him, ended up finishing with 4. But I think, yes, so like you said, Ian, from a Syracuse standpoint, you got a little bit of everything. Judah did his 29, JJ pours in 13, Quadir with 12, which seems like is kind of what we can expect from him coming off the bench. And it was nice to see, it was just refreshing to see an offense that really gelled, had some cohesion, and it felt like had options, wasn't super reliant on Chris Bell needing to knock down shots. Wasn't super reliant on Judah Mintz needing to get to the line, although he did that 8 times and made all of them. Just, again, refreshing in that there were different ways they got it done. It was on full display.
Judah had 29, and by far and away his best game down the stretch. He's had really good first halves, but I think at times in the second half, he's kind of faltered. I mean, a couple of games ago, Quadir Copeland was the guy with the ball at the end of the game against North Carolina State. What does that say? Well, Judah's just been struggling to find that rhythm. And he got it early, didn't take too many threes, didn't settle all that often. And he also had a really efficient game turnover-wise, 6 assists and only 2 turnovers. Virginia Tech doesn't have that dominant ball stopper. It's not a great defensive team. So Syracuse took advantage of that, got to the paint, and kept the ball in the middle of the floor. Because when you keep the ball straight away, you give Malik Brown that ability to do anything off the pick and roll. And he made a lot of plays. You know, we talk about the rebounding, all that sort of stuff, and it's easy to count assists. He only had 2. But his presence, and when you throw him the ball in the middle of the floor, the defense turns to him, and then you can spin it every which way as I knock my mic to the right.
Yeah.
I'm doing the hand motions thing again. But you can spin the ball every which way once the ball gets to the middle of the floor. It's just like with the zone, when the attention is drawn towards the middle, you kick it back out. If you're moving quickly in the pick-and-roll game, you could do kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I think we saw a lot of that against the Hokies, right? I really like, on the other end of the court, Ian, defensively, it felt like Virginia Tech just was uncomfortable all night long. It felt like they were settling for shots. It felt like every time the Hokies brought the ball up the court, they weren't working for a good shot. You know, often you see these teams who go for the first look rather than the right look, right? And it looked like Virginia Tech was a team that when they had that first look, they took it, even if it wasn't the right one. Now, is that more a testament to Syracuse's defense or Virginia Tech's inability to pour it on offensively? Probably somewhere in between. But for as much as we've gotten after this Syracuse defense all year, it was nice to see them really wire to wire for a full 40. And I know the Hokies went on some runs in the second half, but it felt like there was an overarching theme in that this Virginia Tech team just didn't really have any rhythm going, just felt out of sorts, which again is a lesson that I think we've spoken a lot about on the flip side, right? Of, okay, a bad Syracuse loss. What's the main takeaway? Offensively, no plan, right? Doesn't appear like they're running a lot of sets, kind of just that free form style. I think Virginia Tech did a lot of that, right? It must have been nice from a Syracuse standpoint to be on the other end of that conversation. Hokies appeared to be kind of without a plan offensively, and it really hurt them in the first half. And then they made their adjustments and figured it out a little bit, but by that point, it was too little too late.
What have we kind of talked about all year with the Syracuse defense and where it struggled? It's the pick and roll, and then it's also handling big men. Lynn Kidd is okay. He's big, but like, what does he do that goes above and beyond? He's not PJ Hall. He doesn't step out. He's not Armando Bacot. He's not amazing at getting position early in possessions.
Right.
And they don't have a guard that can attack you off the dribble. Their best 2 guards are shooters. So there's no element on this VT team that threatens either of the weak points on Syracuse's defense. And with the defense not threatened, you rebound well too. 18-11, the rebounding advantage in the first half. It's only 4 at the end of the game, but the best number here is Virginia Tech only has 7 offensive rebounds. And that's why this game is a 13-point win and not necessarily a 6 or a 4 or something that really made you go, oh gosh, like, ugh. I'm scared with a minute left, like Georgia Tech or like North Carolina State.
Munir Hima, we should bring this up. The only honoree of Senior Day.
Yeah.
So let's throw some love to Munir.
Even though he didn't play.
But yeah, I think that, look, the bottom line, Ian, as we'll continue to elaborate on here a little more, you lose this game, it's season over.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I think you lose this game, it's just about as close to done unless you go win the ACC tournament. Now, they've at least kept that window open. How open? Not very open, but it's not slammed shut. And I think that's the takeaway from this.
Syracuse right now, as it stands, is 81st in the net, 18-10 overall, 2 quad one wins. One of those is obviously North Carolina at home. And the other is Pitt on the road.
Which feels like eons ago.
Pitt is 49th, and they're not going to drop underneath 75th. So that should stay where it is. Clemson right now is 23rd. Would you say, Johnny, that beating Clemson at the end of the year could be Syracuse's biggest win of the season? Is it bigger than beating UNC at home?
I don't think so, because I think Carolina is a team that people think can go to the Final Four, even if it was on your home court. I know the Clemson game would obviously be on the road, but I don't think it would garner up that same level of national attention.
Yeah.
What I will say is this, like, I think, you know, and this is all assuming, and again, you know what happens when you assume, but if Syracuse takes care of business against the Cardinals this weekend, if they want to make it easy on themselves and go into the ACC tournament knowing, okay, there's a path, even if we don't win 3 games in this tournament, for us to still be there, I think you got to go down to Little John, and I think you got to make a statement. Like, I think that's something that doesn't get talked about a ton, Ian. Like, there's something.
Well, actually, it has been talked about a ton, but go ahead, make your point, and then we'll get into another niche college basketball thing that's been going around the horn for the past week and a half. But go.
Hasn't been said a ton from a Syracuse.
Oh, no.
If they go down to Little John and they convincingly win that game, it is very different than winning that game by 2 points, right? Yeah. So go smack the Cardinals around, do what you got to do to get the vibes up, play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder going up against the guy who left you, going to their place in Girard last year, and hand it to him and make a statement and go secure that whatever seed it would be at that point, probably somewhere in the 5-7 range of the ACC tournament. And set up a couple of ideal matches for yourself when you go down to North Carolina for the conference tournament.
ACC-wise, Syracuse is a half game behind Clemson and Wake Forest. Wake Forest obviously smashed Syracuse, and SU would be tied with Clemson. Again, we don't know what the tiebreakers are past that. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Your point about winning big applies to an argument that's been floating around college basketball over the past week and a half to 2 weeks. And it's been a line in conversations now back to November or December. And this will kind of take us more national. So thanks for the segue, Johnny. People have been mad at the Big 12 now for about the past 3 months for playing soft non-conference schedules. Not just soft, but like marshmallow, Cool Whip, you know, the plush pillow that you just got at Bed Bath & Beyond soft. I think the Big 12, each Big 12 team had played at least 2 of the bottom 112 teams in the country. So like the Mississippi Valley States and Siena's of the world. And winning those games big, people argue, has manipulated the net into giving these Big 12 teams more of an advantage.
Right.
Is it that big of an advantage? No. It's maybe like half a ranking or a one ranking. But earlier on in the season, BYU was a top 10 team. Iowa State is close now, but Iowa State was a top 10 team, and they hadn't played anybody. TCU was up there. Brad Brownell made this argument the other day. Why were people so high on TCU? We beat them. Well, TCU was undefeated, and they had beaten Abilene Christian by 35. So that's what people are mad about with the Big 12. And to take this back to a Syracuse perspective, Syracuse hasn't blown people out. Syracuse couldn't blow Canisius out. So that isn't going to help at the end of the day. Again, it's small potatoes, but these are the kind of things that get you in or maybe keep you out. Speaking of getting into the NCAA tournament, the number 96 has been thrown around as we talk college football expansion. College basketball comes right along with it. 96 teams in the NCAA tournament. Right now, Syracuse would certainly be in. Johnny, how does that make you feel?
Well, I think the common knowledge, Ian, is that the NCAA tournament, as it stands right now, is pretty darn close to perfect as is, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think any real big college basketball fan is scrambling for change and wants to see this thing expand. But if you'll allow me, I'm going to try to play devil's advocate a little bit. Not because I want it to happen, but because it's all about money, it's all about TV rights, more games, everybody tunes in, more money in everybody's pockets. If you were to expand it to 96, right, out of the 362 Division I teams, that's still only 27% of all teams in the NCAA, right? And let's think about this now. Let's take it beyond college, right? We've seen Major League Baseball expand. We've seen the NFL add an extra wild card. Even in the NBA and the NHL, half the league makes the postseason, it feels like, right? And I think statistically it is half the league or just about it. So it's not at a point where you're egregiously allowing everybody in. For me, the issue becomes, and this is similar to the college football narrative, I guess, it completely devalues the regular season. Right? Like these regular season games got to account for something. These Syracuse games down the stretch, these Wake Forest games down the stretch, all of a sudden you expand that number and it feels like what the shift will be is it's just going to be those, you know, everybody from the ACC, everybody from the SEC, everybody from the Big 12 that's on the bubble is inevitably just going to work their way in the conversation. It helps the bigger conferences. It hurts the smaller conferences. Now, how does that change when it comes to auto bids? And, you know, does somebody like the Ivy League now get two teams in it consistently every year? I don't know. That's all the fine print that would have to be worked out. I don't think it needs to be changed. But when you compare it to some other leagues around the country and you get into the nitty gritty of some of the numbers, again, as perfect as March Madness is, I don't think changes are as outlandish and as unrealistic as some people have been making it out to be.
Well, money grab, you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
The other thing that we should note about the smaller conference perspective is that they changed the rules this year to where smaller conferences aren't guaranteed auto bids into the NIT.
Right.
So they can be left out of postseason play. I mean, if you're counting the CBI or any other weird thing like that, but like smaller conferences at this point don't have a hand to hold. They are by themselves making the tournament. And the whole magic of the thing is the 16 beating the one. Virginia going down to UMBC. You will always remember where you were when Virginia lost to UMBC. As will you remember where you were when Chris Jenkins hit the shot and when Purdue lost to FDU. Right? You can go back to every single big NCAA tournament moment over the past 5 years and be like, yeah, this is where I was. The other nice thing about it, at least the NCAA tournament now, is the flow of the sports calendar. Those 2-3 weeks in March.
That's a great point.
For college basketball. We haven't thrown the first pitch of the baseball season yet. The Super Bowl's over. You know, the only thing people are talking about in college football is coaching changes. The NBA still hasn't gotten to the point where it's deciding its playoff race.
And at that point, all the NFL offseason conversation has just become nauseating because it's all anybody talks about all winter anyway.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about the draft or whether the Chargers should re-sign Keenan Allen or something, whatever. That was the topic du jour on First Take this morning. Either way, the last 2 weeks of March are strictly for March Madness. If you're our age and you were in middle school, you were trying to convince the teacher to put it on the projector, or you were spending that time not doing the work and watching it on your computer/phone/tablet/whatever you had in class. The entire last 2 weeks of March are strictly dedicated to NCAA tournament basketball. And that's how it should be, from noon till dawn. What happens when the final game of the tournament is May 1st. What happens when the NBA playoffs are running with the Final Four? What?
Right. Well,
are we going to take this down to Memorial Day weekend? Like it's have, lacrosse?
Have they come out and said that that's what it would be? Like, could they potentially slide it all up and start earlier?
They certainly wouldn't shorten the regular season.
Right.
Especially not with, you know, these conferences expanding.
Right.
You got to play 16 to 18 conference games to make that cash quota for ESPN or whatever TV contract you've got.
Yep.
They're not going to shorten the regular season. So the NCAA tournament would become this sprawling mass that loses the most cherished part of it. Those 2 weeks when that's all you're thinking about.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about it from that angle, but you're right. I mean, you think about sort of even now, right? Like it's February here, late February. We're going through sports withdrawal, it feels like, when it comes to what's out there on the calendar right now. It's interesting. It's something that, you know, I think everybody's kind of rooting for it to stay as is.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it does. The only thing we can kind of do is wait and see, you know, if the football stuff has shown us anything, it's that rapid changes can happen very quick. And you know it would be met with serious backlash. And you would think that said backlash would factor in to a decision that big. But who knows? We're just here to break it all down and give our honest opinions and reactions. So it sounds like, Ian, we're both in the mindset of don't change it. We both have our reasons why. I'm just a little more willing to hear the other side, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, no matter where you look in college sports, it doesn't seem like the fan opinion or the reasonable common sense opinion as for why things should stay the same or is really being considered. Unfortunately.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first-name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
Speaking of that, Clemson, Cal, Florida State, SMU, Stanford, Miami, Virginia Tech, all ACC teams now. And all games that Syracuse will play strictly on the road. That's right. If you live near the Stanford campus, or you live in Berkeley, California, are you a Cuse fan that's relocated to Dallas? Then we got the traveling road show for you. Man, does that feel weird. Conference games in California, man.
Who would have thought? And you can only wonder, from a logistics standpoint,
how are you going to do it?
Right. Like, are those games going to be consecutively on the schedule? I would think probably not. Maybe two of them. Not all three.
You have to play Cal and Stanford at the same
time. Right. Make that one trip.
Yeah. But
then are you going to have to go from, you know, a Wednesday home game to a Saturday SMU? Like, it's going to be weird. And it feels really odd, too, in that the three new teams – none of them are coming to you. You're going to all three of them right from the jump. Meanwhile, I saw this put out on Twitter earlier by Mike Waters, who joined us earlier on in the regular season. Syracuse is not going to a single North Carolina school next year.
Bummer for me.
Duke only at home. Carolina only at home. Wake only at home. And the Wolfpack only at home. So not only are you not making your usual trip, so to speak, I mean, it's going to be weird for everybody involved.
SU isn't going to Florida either.
Well, they are going
to Florida and they're going to California.
I would love to get a Jim Boeheim reaction to that. That would be one thing where I don't know what game Jim is calling this week, but I'm going to try to make it a point to tune into that, because that's got to be something that I'm sure he would love to share his thoughts on.
It's just a very strange way to schedule it. And Syracuse only has three teams. It plays both home and away: BC, Pitt, and Notre Dame. I mean, there could be worse teams. Like, it's better than playing North Carolina both home and away, risking two, like, I guess it's not risking two losses, but akin to our conversation we had earlier, what's the benefit of playing Notre Dame two times if you're a prospective NCAA tournament team?
Right.
Probably nothing.
Nothing at all.
There's no real value in playing those teams twice. So I think that's a bummer. If it stays like the football schedule has stayed, where they're partners and they play every year home and away regardless, like Syracuse gets no juice out of those games.
No, not at all.
Go ahead.
I know, I was just going to throw, you know, we are both student media alum of Syracuse University, obviously, Ian. Mm-hmm. I am very jealous of the students who are going to be calling the road Cal game for you. Imagine where you're divvying up the games at the start of the season and you book a trip to LA in the process. I mean, geez.
Well, Johnny, we don't have the deep pockets of some of our fellow alum donors, but I guarantee in 20 years, they're going to come calling because not only are we going to the Bahamas, we're going to California. They're playing another game in South Dakota.
Right.
They're going to Miami. They're going to Tallahassee. They're going to Dallas. Oh, dude, imagine going to Dallas and then there's a Super Bowl there.
Oh my goodness.
Like that weekend. Oh. Jeez.
Or even just going in November, December, and it's a Saturday game and you're jammed up with the traveling crowd for the Cowboys Eagles game that Sunday. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, there can really be some messy situations. And what happens if a flight gets delayed? It's Syracuse. It snows. Oh, man.
A lot of headaches.
Right, so all the variables could come into play. Next year is next year, though. This Saturday, Syracuse has the Louisville Cardinals. 191st in KenPom. It's an 8 o'clock tip on everyone's favorite, the ACC Network, at everyone's favorite place, the KFC Yum! Exclamation Point Center, a university that really does not know how to name their stadiums. Because they had to take the football name off. Louisville has lost its last four. Duke, Notre Dame, Pitt, and BC. Three of those four on the road. This is a home game for the Cardinals. And yeah, they kept it really darn close in the dome.
Yeah, I think what you got to remember is that dome game. And that this is a team that is 179 in KenPom on offense. And came to the 315 and put up 92 points. Mm-hmm. And not a weird 92, a consistent 92, 45 in the first, 47 in the second half. They made you play wire to wire. Should they have? Probably not. But again, let's think about what has changed for this Syracuse team between then and now, right? The last time the Orange got the Cardinals, they were coming off really a rough patch, right? You had the BC loss. You got smoked by Wake just prior to that. You had the Florida State loss at home, double digits. This is a team that is in a very different place, physically, mentally, emotionally, right now than they were on February 7th, which was only a couple of short weeks ago. But it's crazy what a top 10 win on your home court can do in terms of just injecting life in the program, even with the Georgia Tech loss sandwiched in there since then. It feels like this is a team that just has a lot more going for it, and you hope that they sort of rise to meet the moment. I think that's the thing, Ian. That's the worry. You know, all this conversation, oh, two left, got to go get at Clemson. You can't overlook it, right? And I'm sure that's, I would think, item number one on Red Autry's discussion this week of, hey, don't even think about Clemson. We're worrying about Louisville. And it's coach speak, but it's true to an extent, right? Like, you've got to go game by game. They have not put themselves in a position where they have the luxury of looking ahead. So you got to go out there and you got to perform come Saturday.
Yeah, because you look ahead and then you look at the court and Brandon Huntley Hatfield has 20 and 10, or Sky Clark has 25, or Mike James has made four threes, and it's just a weird Louisville game. Last year, they only won by one, and they probably should have lost. That's when a lot of people's eyes were open to, like, wait, what the heck is going on here?
Right.
So it's no joke. Even though Louisville is a national joke, it is really no joke for Syracuse because they got to figure it out. 8 o'clock on ACC Network, we will be watching, as hopefully most of you in the 315 will be, and hopefully it's a win because a loss would mean the end of Syracuse's NCAA tournament hopes. Yep, it's over. Forget about it. All right, signing off, Johnny Gadamowitz, Ian Unsworth. Remember to follow us on Twitter, F68_Cuse. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us on Twitter or on YouTube. The Field of 68 Podcast Network is where you'll find us there. The full replay of any show you want, including Mike Waters' midseason reactions, or Diesel Frank hopping on the show to talk about Jim Boeheim Day. Hope you enjoy the game on Saturday. We'll be back Monday with the reaction and to talk about the Clemson Tigers. See you then.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.